I hate to do this at the beginning of the sermon tonight, but I need to make a little announcement. I sent out some emails this week that we were going to be having an Ultimate Frisbee game out. If it's not been raining anymore, we're still going to do that. But if we get out and it's raining, Marita's gotten sick, and so Plan B is gone. So if you're going to do that, we'll meet out there. If we decide we can play and picnic, we'll keep doing it. Otherwise, some other time. Probably next week. All right. This morning we talked about working with God's energy. From Colossians chapter 1 and verse 29. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 29, Paul says, "For this I toil, struggling with all His energy that He powerfully works within me." Paul, in all the things that he did, he would only boast in his weaknesses. He would point out what he couldn't do. And by that, he would point out that everything he did accomplish, he accomplished because of the energy and power of God that was working in him through Jesus Christ. This morning, I hope that I was able to impress upon your mind, as trying to impress it upon my mind, truly the effective power that God has as we consider things like the creation, the flood, his battles against those foreign gods in Egypt, as he demonstrated that they were no gods at all. The battle victories that happened with Joshua and Gideon and David, Hezekiah. And then, of course, the incarnation of Jesus Christ. And what I wanted us to grasp this morning, before we considered really the points that Colossians 1:29 really brings to our mind, is that if God could do all of those things that we discussed this morning, if God can create the world effectively, if God could send the flood and destroy the world successfully, if God can bring about victories, then God can, in fact, do amazing things through you. God can do things that you can't even imagine, being successful in His work in you. Tonight, as we build upon what we learned about God and His power and His energy, I want us to think about four things that I learned from Colossians 1:29 that I believe should help us as we long to walk in the good works. We are God's workmanship, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. We are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to walk in good works. And it may be that you aren't coming into Jesus Christ because you're just afraid you can't walk in those good works. Or it may be that you're turning your back on Jesus Christ because you are just convinced you won't be able to continue walking in those good works for the rest of your life. Or it may be that you're just kind of barely hanging on because you just feel like it just can't be done. Or maybe you're hanging on fine, but there are things that you wish you could be involved in or work that you're saying, I just can't ever do that. And I want us to think about the fact that it's not us alone. It's God working in us. It's God working through us. And He can do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think according to His power that works within us. And so tonight I'd like to share with you four things that I hope will help build your faith in God as you want to step out on the battlefield and accomplish things for His glory in your home, in this congregation, on the job, and in our community. Before we look at that, would you bow with me in prayer, please? Almighty God and Father in heaven, You are magnificent. You are the great God. You are the ruler of the universe. You have created all things and You have sustained it for thousands of years. Father, we humble ourselves before You. We praise You. We lift You up. Father, we ask that You would fill us with Your strength. We will boast in our weaknesses. There's so many things that we can't do. We understand, Father, that on our own, we can't even breathe. And yet it's because of the oxygen and the design of our bodies that You have done that we breathe in and out every day without even thinking about it. Father, we understand that there's no way we could convert people in this community, but it's You that causes the growth. And we give You the glory and the praise and the honor for that, and we're amazed that You allow us to be tools in Your kingdom that can accomplish that kind of growth. And we pray that You would fill us with faith in You and with Your power and energy, that we will reach out and share Your gospel message to our friends, our neighbors, our family, our coworkers, our classmates, that they might become a part of Your family as well and that they can enjoy and experience this amazing work in their lives as well. Be with us tonight as we increase our faith. Build us up, Father, and help us to magnify You for Your name's sake. Thank you for loving us. We love you so much, Father. Through your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. When I consider what it says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 29. Well, we're going to have to... I don't know how that happened. I put this at the right place earlier. When we consider what it says for God's work and power and what it means for us, there are four things that I hope we can grasp. Number one, my good work is possible because God is working. My good work is possible because God is working. When Paul says in Colossians 1:29, "For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me," what Paul is admitting is that he could not do this work. He could not toil and struggle like this if it were not for God working within him. We need to understand that the good works that God has created beforehand for us to walk in them, we cannot walk in them if not for God's working. Now, please don't misunderstand. I'm not saying that nobody can ever do anything that we might call good. I'm not saying that folks who are outside of Jesus Christ can't ever do anything that we might call good. But what I am saying is that there's no one who can walk in good works apart from God. There is no one apart from God's healing that can walk like we talked about that healed man a few weeks ago. There's two things that we need to understand. Look in Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6. In Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6, we find out about the good works that we do outside of God, those things that appear good, that we would look at everybody and say, they did a nice thing, they did a good thing. In Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6, here's what it says about those works if we're outside of Jesus Christ and outside of God. In Isaiah 64 and verse 6, it says, "We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away." When we are outside of Jesus Christ, when we are outside of God's good working, outside of His power, outside of His energy, no doubt there are things that we do that are good. There are things that we do that even accord with what His will has said. But those don't amount to anything. They don't matter. They're unrighteousness. They're like a polluted garment. Any righteous act that we perform outside of Jesus Christ does not help us. Why? Because we have already committed all kinds of unrighteousness. Our unrighteousness pollutes the good works that we might try to practice all on our own. And that's why Paul, in Romans chapter 3, marshaling multiple verses from that old covenant, describes the state that we are in outside of Jesus Christ. Beginning in verse 10 of Romans 3, "None is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside, together they've become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asps is under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. In their paths are ruin and misery. And the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes." That is us outside of Jesus Christ. That is every person in the world outside of God. These passages do not mean that when I'm this bad, I'm a sinner. What they mean is, when I'm a sinner, I'm this bad. And we need to grasp that. And what that means is, if we are outside of the saving work of Jesus Christ, even the good works that we do amount to nothing. They are vanity. But there's a second thing that we need to understand about us and good works if we are outside of Jesus Christ, and that's demonstrated in Romans chapter 7. In Romans chapter 7, what we learn is, while we may be able to pull off a good work here and there, while we may be able even to string together a few good works, there is no way for us to walk in them, because having sinned, we have become enslaved to sin, and sin has taken over. In Romans chapter 7 and verse 13, it says, "Did that which is good then bring death to me? By no means. It was sin producing death in me through what is good, in order that sin might be shown to be sin, and through the commandment might become sinful beyond measure. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin. For I do not understand my own actions. I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it's good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want, it's no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. So, I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law, waging war against the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Understand what Paul is saying. Paul is pointing out that outside of Jesus Christ, because he has sinned, he is enslaved by that sin. Sin is taken over. Sin is driving him. Even though he wants to obey God, even though he wants to serve God and follow His law, he can't do it. He doesn't have the ability. Sin has taken over. And he caps this off with this cry in verse 24. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? But here's the great thing. He actually has an answer in the next verse. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ. His point is that God, in fact, can deliver. And when Paul had written this, he had been delivered. Jesus Christ delivers us from this enslavement to sin. But outside of Christ, we're enslaved to sin. We have got to grasp and understand that because God is working, good works are possible. Outside of the working of God, they're not possible. If you're outside of Jesus Christ and you're not coming in because you're afraid you won't be able to obey Him, well, it's no wonder you feel that way. You're living life outside of Jesus Christ. You understand what it's like to keep trying to make that effort, but not being set free by Jesus. Now, I'm not saying that people who become Christians automatically never sin. That's not true. But understand, if you're outside of Christ and you're saying, I'll never be able to do it, well, I understand why you think that. Because all you can think about is the way things are going now. And if you stay outside of Christ, they're always going to be like that. Please don't think, I've got to get my good works in line and then enter Jesus Christ. Good work is possible because God is working. And He works in His people. The second thing I learned from Colossians 1 and verse 29 is my good work matters because God is working. My good work matters because God is working. I have found that anytime I start talking about the grace of God that helps us overcome sin, and anytime I start talking about the power of God working in our lives, and anytime I say things like I do in the verse point, that my good work is possible because God is working, there is always some well-meaning Christian who becomes really concerned that what I'm saying is, hey, you don't actually have to do anything. You don't have to do anything, just sit on your backside and just wait for God to do it all. And you can just keep living life however you want, and in the end you'll get to go on to heaven. And that's not what I'm saying at all. In fact, everything that I've said we got from the verses that Paul said. He was saying that. The thing that we need to understand is that Paul didn't view the idea of God working as a reason for him to go sit down. And Paul did not teach that because God is working, that what we can all do is go sit down. Look at what he says in Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians chapter 2, Paul gives the conclusion of what we need to be doing because God is working. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12, Paul says this, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Why? "For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure." Paul says, because God is working in you, you need to work. See, the reality is, if God wasn't working, your work wouldn't matter. If God was not working within you, all the work that you tried to do wouldn't amount to a hill of beans. It wouldn't accomplish anything. It wouldn't get anywhere. It wouldn't do anything for you. The only reason we should work is because we believe God is working. And because we believe that God has worked, because we believe that God worked by putting Jesus on the cross, so that our sins could be forgiven and we could be set free. That's what makes anything we do matter. If it weren't for God working, being here tonight would be pointless. I mean, we might feel good about it. Might give us a few hours of sad conscience or something, but eternally speaking, it would accomplish nothing. The reason we should be here is because we believe God is working. Psalm 127, verses 1 and 2 makes this point clearly. Psalm 127, verses 1 and 2. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. Our work is vain if God is not doing something. But because God is doing something, our work matters. And so, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58, the Bible says, "Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." Do you see that? Why be steadfast and immovable? Why should we abound in the work of the Lord? Because God is working. And in the Lord, our work is not in vain. Our work matters because God is working. Your work as a child of God matters because God is working. You may think that whatever it is that you can do doesn't matter too much. Get rid of that. You don't have to do what everybody else can do, but you need to understand that what you do matters because God is working. And the God who created the universe, the God who destroyed the earth in the flood, the God who defeated those non-existent gods in Egypt with those plagues, that God can do amazing things even through you. The power that He has can make your work matter. But you know what will keep your work from mattering? I'll tell you what makes your work not matter. If you don't do it. If you don't do it, your work won't matter. You may be sitting back and saying, "Well, you know, I've always wanted to do this, but it won't matter. It won't help. It won't do anything. It won't accomplish anything." Don't treat God's grace like that. Don't treat God's power like that. God's power can do unimaginable things because your work matters, because God is working. But not only does your work matter, my good work is successful because God is working. Here's where I want you to start building up your faith. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 13, it points out that nobody can straighten what God has made crooked. The one who is filling us with power, the one whose energy is working in us, his children, nobody can overthrow what he does. Nobody can defeat what he does. And so, when we're working by the powerful energy of God that He has put within us, nobody can defeat it. What would you do? I often hear this, and we say it as if it's impossible, as if it just could never happen. As if, you know, what would you do if failure was not an option? If you knew you'd be successful, what would you do? That's where we are. When God is working in us, we will not fail. Now, the problem is that sometimes we don't know what success looks like. For us, obviously, if we're going to be involved in personal evangelism, success looks like baptizing a lot of people. And we don't realize that we're actually being successful just by getting the word out. Sometimes, actually, success looks like people rejecting it and being without excuse in the judgment day. Success doesn't always look the way we want, so we feel like it's failure. But God's will, God's work accomplishes God's ends. And if we get out and do the work of God, we are successful. Why? Because we're so awesome at it? No. Because God is successful. Isaiah chapter 55. In Isaiah chapter 55, beginning at verse 10. In Isaiah 55 and verse 10, "For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it." Do you believe that? Do you believe that God's word will accomplish what He wants to accomplish with it? What that means is, when we live by God's word, God will accomplish what giving us that word was intended to accomplish. You know, sometimes the success is just what the work does for us as we grow. Was Noah successful? He preached for 120 years, converted 7 people. Was Noah successful? I'd say he was. He was very successful. God told Isaiah, "I want you to go and preach to this wayward people. I want you to preach till you're blue in the face. I want you to preach till they're absolutely sick of hearing you preach." And that's what he did. And Israel didn't turn, and they didn't change, and in the end they were destroyed and judged. Was Isaiah successful? Absolutely. Why? Because he did the work of God. Because he followed the word of God. And God's word will not return void. Think about this. Can you imagine, as we mentioned this morning, what was going through the apostles' mind in that window of time between Jesus' death and His resurrection? To them, it looked like what they had thought was the working of God had failed. The one that they thought was the Messiah had failed. But on that first day of the week, what did they think? God's work is successful. So much so that when they gathered to pray in Acts chapter 4, their whole view of what had happened in the trial and in the tragedy had changed. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 27, rather than being all upset about the trial that sent Jesus unjustly to the cross, rather than being upset about Jesus dying, rather than being upset about Him being buried, this is what they said: "For truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness." They said, look, what happened there was what God wanted to happen. God accomplishes God's purposes. And He does it through us. And if we just get busy working, our work will be successful. It will accomplish what God wants, because God's word does not return to Him void. Listen. God was able to take Moses, who at age 40 killed a man and fled in fear, and even at age 80 was a coward, scared to death, kept making excuses, and God successfully brought Israel out of Egypt. Now, there were a lot of times along the way that the Israelites did not think it was being successful, didn't they? But was God's work successful? Absolutely. God was able to take that little shepherd boy, step him out onto the battlefield, and turn him into a giant slayer. Was he successful? Absolutely. God was able to take Gideon, the least in his house, of the least important tribes of Israel, and turn him into a leader. Was God's work successful? Please, please, don't build your faith in you and your work. But understand that because God is working, our work is successful. We can't fail. Isn't that great? We are so worried that someone's going to reject us. We are so worried that people aren't going to like us. We're so worried about what that's going to mean for us. God's Word accomplishes what it's supposed to. If they hear the Word and they reject, that's not about you. That's not a failure. That's a success. Why? Because you did the work. If you step out, you strive to overcome sin, sometimes you stumble. Do you give up and say, well, I'm just a failure? No, you understand that God is working in your life and He will be successful. He is conforming you, as Romans chapter 8 points out. You will be successful. And so, Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 37, Paul said, "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us." God is going to be successful. Don't give up. Hang on to Him. Keep doing His work. And so, what all of this means in the final analysis, my good work is possible because God is working. My good work matters because God is working. My good work is successful because God is working. Your good work is possible. It matters. It's successful because God is working. Do you know what that means? That means I need to get to work. That means I need to get to good work. And I need to praise God for it. It does not mean that I need to sit back and do nothing. It does not mean that I need to just continue on living however I want. It means that I need to get to work. It means that you need to get to work. Goliath taunted Israel for 40 days. And God did nothing. Until when? When did God do something? When somebody who put their faith in God got to work and stepped out on the battlefield. We need to get to work. Ephesians chapter 2. And verse 10. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, our theme verse for the year, for the past couple of years. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God has healed us in Jesus Christ so that we can walk. Let's get after it. Let's get busy. Let's get working. Because God works through us. But let's remember to praise God for that work. Psalm 8. Some believe that Psalm 8 was written actually after the defeat of Goliath. Notice the praise that David gives God. Psalm 8 verse 1. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is Your name in all the earth. You have set Your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babies and infants, You have established Your strength because of Your foes to still the enemy and the avenger. He's praising God. He's saying, look, I'm just a baby. I'm just an infant. Anything I've accomplished, it's because of Your strength. And what powerful strength it is. And so when you've done something, what do you need to do? Praise God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12. My grace is sufficient for you, for My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. If you've accomplished something, it's not because of your strength. It's because of God's strength. If you're trying to boast about what you can do, you're going to fall. But God can accomplish amazing things through us. Romans chapter 15 and verse 18 that we talked about this morning. I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me to bring the Gentiles to obedience by word and deed. We need to talk about what Christ has accomplished through us. I'll tell you a great example of this kind of praise is in 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. David has called the people together. He's trying to prepare for the temple that Solomon is going to build. And they have brought this amazing array of gifts. Notice what David says as he prays to God, beginning in 1 Chronicles 29:10. Blessed are you, O Lord, the God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. And now we thank you, our God, and praise your glorious name. But who am I? And what is my people that we should be able thus to offer willingly? For all things come from you, and of your own have we given you. For we are strangers before you and sojourners, as all our fathers were. Our days on the earth are like a shadow, and there is no abiding. O Lord, our God, all this abundance that we have provided for building you a house for your holy name comes from your hand and is all your own. He doesn't say, O Lord, bless us because of how awesomely we've done. He doesn't say, O Lord, look down at this great victory and this good work that we've accomplished. He says, O Lord, you be blessed because all riches, all abundance, all wealth, all of this stuff is yours and you've just given it to us. We're only giving this to you, God, because of your strength and your power and your abundant mercy. And why was the temple successfully built? Twice? Because of God. Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, God said through Zechariah. That's the exact same thing about our work. Not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. Our work is possible because God is working. Our work matters because God is working. Our work is successful because God is working. And therefore, brothers and sisters, we must get to work. And praise God for all that we do, for all that He does through us. Let's build our faith in Him. Because there's no stopping God. Would you pull out your songbooks, please? Number 470, Do You Know My Jesus? Number 470. Just in case you forgot during the sermon, slides aren't working back there, so you need to get out a songbook. Do You Know My Jesus? I don't know where you are tonight. I don't know what kind of struggles you're facing. I don't know what kind of things are causing you to say, hey, what I do doesn't matter. What kind of things are causing you to say, well, it's not going to amount to anything anyway. What kind of things are causing you maybe just to even stay outside of Jesus Christ. Tonight, what I ask you to do is put your faith in Him and His work. And if you're not one of His children, and you're sitting here tonight saying, I just don't think I can do it. I don't think I can make it. Put your faith in Him. He can. And just take one step at a time. Or if you have requests for prayer, if you got some struggling or some confession you need to make that we can help you with, whatever it is, why don't you come forward right now as we stand and sing and meet Jesus. We're